Our guest at this time is Roll Call newspaper reporter Shira Toplitz. She joins us to talk about the decision on Tuesday by the Minnesota State Supreme Court that declares Al Franken the winner of the 2008 Minnesota Senate race over Republican Norm Coleman. Coleman won the first count, Franken won the recount, and then won every subsequent court battle after that. And Coleman has said he will not challenge it in federal court or anywhere else. And Shira, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me again, Greg.
Well, the election was just 8 months ago. It seems like this whole process has really flown by. What do you make of the decision by the Supreme Court? Was this a surprise in any way, given all the previous court decisions in Franken's favor?
Honestly, absolutely not. We were kind of expecting this. We were really just waiting. What was surprising is how long the court took to make this decision. We thought it'd probably come down last week or even the end of the week before. And it was slightly surprising that it was a unanimous decision, 5-0. So that was a little bit surprising, but no, we were expecting Franken to win this one. As you just said, he won all of the legal challenges leading up to this, basically all the legal challenges. And we thought he was going to bring it home.
Obviously, Democrats are pleased that they get another member. It brings their total up to the magic number of 60. So if the caucus sticks together, they can break any sort of filibuster attempt. Do the Democrats believe that this puts them in a position to really accomplish that? Or are there still enough moderate members that's still going to be a tough nut to crack in a lot of different issues?
Oh, it's a big if. I think there are many moderate members who could vote with Republicans in the upcoming year. Remember, a lot of these people are up for re-election. You have Senator Ben Nelson from Nebraska. You have Mary Landrieu in Louisiana. You have Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas. You have several moderate Democrats who could likely vote with Republicans on several key issues. Let's take one piece of legislation, the Employee Free Choice Act. Blanche Lincoln has already said she's likely going to vote against that in its current form. So, I mean, just looking at that issue in particular, Al Franken is certainly going to vote for that. He said that. He supports the Employee Free Choice Act, but Lincoln's going to vote against it, so they won't be able to pass that filibuster.
What committee assignments do we know of are already underway for Al Franken? Has that been determined yet?
I don't know if anyone's asked him that yet. I think we'll have to see. Unfortunately, when you come in this far into the session, you don't really get your first choice all the time. But I think Harry Reid might have something special in mind for Senator-elect Al Franken. We'll find out next week what he picks.
What has been the buzz on Capitol Hill about this, not just in the past couple of days, but really over the first 6 months of this Congress? Is this something that everyone was just assuming was going to happen, given what we talked about a moment ago? Or was this a frustration for folks like Harry Reid, who obviously wants all the votes he can get?
Yeah, I think it was very frustrating for Senate Democrats. And you saw in some very close votes, they were flying back one senator from his mother's funeral right after the funeral to vote. You know, at one point, they brought back Senator Ted Kennedy, who's very, very ill. And Senator Robert Byrd, another member of the caucus, has been in the hospital for the past 6.5 weeks. And when you have 100 people in a caucus of now 60, well, it will be 60 next week at least, you're looking at, you need every vote you can.
Norm Coleman, of course, served one term in the Senate. He is perhaps rumored now to be running for governor in 2010. He said yesterday he's not in a position to make any sort of decision on anything like that. He also defended his decision to challenge this as many times as he did, saying he just wanted to make sure that every vote was counted by the same standard, that he wanted fairness in this. What is the impact, though, on this drawn-out fight on his political future, do you think?
Oh, I do not think it bodes well for his political future at all. Voters do not look very kindly upon members and politicians who drag out elections further past when they need to. I mean, this really, if you look at polls, too, he's looked upon rather negatively among Minnesota voters. I don't think 2010 will be late enough to really kind of recover his political career. And then let's also look at Norm Coleman's own personal situation right now. You know, these past 6 months, he's been contracting and doing some work. He's not a member of the Millionaires Club, as he always liked to say. You know, he's certainly not as wealthy as Al Franken. Norm Coleman has kind of been a senator in limbo for the past 6 months, and I think he's going to want to go somewhere where he can draw a much bigger paycheck.
What lessons should Al Franken take from recent Minnesota electoral history? Rod Grams was voted out of office in 2000. Mark Dayton didn't even try to run for re-election, and Norm Coleman got beat by a comedian in 2008. So what does he need to remember about Minnesota voters going forward here?
It ain't over till it's over.
Shira, in terms of the landscape of politics in Minnesota, I don't know how closely you follow it there, but does this mark a pretty decidedly shift leftward in a state that was already quite blue, or is it just a state that remains as fickle as it always has been and even elected a pro-wrestler governor at one point?
I think Minnesotans will always have this kind of this quirky side. They are, it's kind of one of the things we don't know about Minnesota, and I'm surprised didn't come out during this recount trial, is they have one of the highest voter participation rates in the country. They are very politically active and very politically aware. So you can pretty much say they've consciously voted for Democrats increasingly over the past few cycles. I think we'll probably see Minnesota voting blue, but, you know, it's also considered a battleground state. So, it could go red again, depending on the mood of the country in a lot of ways.
Do you get the sense from this campaign and this outcome of this very close Senate race, and even going back to, obviously, the 2000 presidential election, that there's going to be any sort of effort to make sure that there aren't these disputes over what counts as a vote and what doesn't count as a vote? I mean, that's probably going to break down on a state-by-state basis, but do you sense a push for that, or is it likely to play out again the next time we have a very close election?
Honestly, no, because as you just said, it's a state-by-state matter. Different states can, choose to reform their election systems, and we can see how that goes. But, unless there's a federal mandate for everyone to have a certain kind of voting machine, and then we're stuck in lawsuits about that for years. I mean, if we have this kind of universal change in the way we vote, it's going to take a long time. And I've always said this, Minnesota, believe it or not, is a really great state to vote in, just in the way they calculate stuff. I mean, this election was in the margin of error. It was that close. It is statistically a tie. It really was. And Minnesota is a good state to vote in. They have good machines, good equipment. They have same-day registration. It's a strong state to vote in. Great transparency laws as well. There are a lot of other states in this nation that I would vote, that I would not like to vote in before I voted in Minnesota.
Nearly 3 million votes cast in that race, and it was a difference of just over 300. Very, very close indeed. Shira, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Shira Tuplitz of Roll Call Newspaper. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.